Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood. The long-awaited UN Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen is nearly upon us, with more than 65 presidents and prime ministers scheduled to attend.
President Obama will be among them, for a day at least. The president will speak on day three at Copenhagen. No major decisions expected till the end of the two-week summit. Many question whether much can happen at Copenhagen to curb emissions from the world's biggest carbon polluters, the U.S. and China.
UN Foundation President Tim Wirth, a former U.S. Senator and Undersecretary of State for Global Affairs, joins us now. Mr. Wirth, welcome to Living on Earth.
Nice to be with you again. Thank you very much.
Now, in a recent statement that you made on U.S.-China relations, you said that the urgency of the green opportunity should be the linchpin of the relationship between these two global powers. What would it take to forge this type of relationship?
Let's look at the reality of the situation, Steve, that we're the biggest developed world. They're the biggest developing country. Between the two of us, we have about 50% of the world's carbon emissions. So if we can figure out together a joint program for moving toward a greener and ultimately low-carbon economy, then you know we have an opportunity together to really salvage the world. So how well we work on such issues as developing natural gas, working on various carbon sequestration issues, really getting a renewable energy economy, and of course, increasing energy efficiency. You know, these are some of the ingredients, each of which we have a big stake in, and they've got a lot to offer, we've got a lot to offer, and together, seems to me, we can hook up and make a huge difference.
What about natural gas? What kind of capability does the U.S. have, and what about China's?
Well, the U.S. has huge reserves of natural gas, and the Chinese have also very large reserves. And natural gas is less than 50% of the carbon content of coal. It's a lot cheaper in every other way, too. When you're finding natural gas and producing it, you don't end up mountaintopping. You don't end up with mass amounts of coal sludge. You don't have all the heavy metals that result from coal production. So it makes a great deal of sense from an environmental and public health point of view to move to natural gas. And we're the country that has the capability to develop those reserves. So this is another area where the U.S. and China ought to be working together very closely.
What kind of numbers do you think the U.S. government is going to put on the table in Copenhagen? We're the last major player here to come up with numbers that we're willing to work with.
I think that the U.S. can put on the table a number of what we would call building blocks. They can put numbers on related to efficiency, related to renewables, related to deforestation, related to substitution of natural gas for coal, and related to automobile efficiency. You add all of those up, and they get you to about a 20% reduction. And if you look at the legislative strategies on both the House and the Senate side, each of them are close to a 20% reduction. So I guess I'd be surprised if whatever announcement the U.S. makes isn't in the neighborhood of a 20% reduction.
How much money should the U.S. offer developing countries to help them meet their emission reduction goals?
One of the most important parts of the agreement is going to be the funding that the developed world gives to the developing world to help them to adapt to climate change. I mean, we're in this terrible situation of those that were least responsible for climate change are those who are going to suffer the most, particularly the poorest countries. So I think if the developed world puts together a pool initially of about $3 to $5 billion to help the developing countries begin to adapt to the climate change that's already built into the system, that would be a good number, that'd be a good start, and would be an acceptable part of a final agreement in Copenhagen.
If the Congress of the United States doesn't move forward in the next year, how likely do you think it is that President Obama will use regulatory authority under the EPA to begin cutting back on the use of coal?
Well, the president currently has very significant authority under the Clean Air Act to regulate carbon, and the Supreme Court has said that it can do so. So the president has a lot of authority to do this, and that is ultimately the most important weapon in his arsenal. Of course, there are many in the industry that want to preempt that authority, and I suspect there will be efforts on Capitol Hill to take that authority away from the public, away from the president, so that the government can't regulate carbon. If that were the case, then I think we'd lose an enormously valuable tool.
Now, you've been at this question of climate change since, well, I know in the United States Senate, you were at those hearings that NASA scientist James Hansen came to back, what is that, 1988. Here it is some 21 years later, and we're still talking about putting a limit on carbon. How optimistic are you that it's going to happen?
I think we're getting to the point where the public's going to start saying to the carbon industry, you can no longer pollute the atmosphere the way you've done it in the past. And the $64 question, of course, is are we going to do enough fast enough? And that's why Copenhagen becomes so important. It's directionally right. That's why it's so important that we follow up. That's why it's so important that the president sustain his authority to regulate carbon. And that's why we all have to work together internationally, particularly the U.S. and China, to move us toward a low-carbon economy to avert the catastrophe that truly is just around the corner.
Timothy Wirth is president of the United Nations Foundation and formerly led the U.S. delegation for climate negotiations back in the time of Kyoto. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, Steve.